You know, we're not going to get to where we need to be with God until what? We press in. Now, there's a lot of different ways to look at this and some scriptures and things. But if I took it just for what pressing in or whatever we'd want to look definition-wise, but I thought of it this week and continue to mull it over a little bit. But one of the definitions is urgently important. Do you not agree that to draw into God, it's urgently important for us to draw into Him, to press into Him? The way life is, no matter what we're going through, good times or bad times, we still need to press into Him. So a definition would be urgently important. I believe it is urgently important for us of today to be pressing into more of God in our lives. More of pressing into God in our church. We cannot get enough of God just on a Sunday morning for an hour and a half or 2 hours max. There's more to it than that. And there's much more of Him than that. Also, it looks like to act upon through steady pushing or thrusting force exerted in contact. You know, sometimes to get closer to God, you've got to exert force to get into Him because there's outside situations that are trying to keep you from getting in to where He's at. Do you see that happening in your lives? A lot of things taking place in our life that is causing some areas of hindrances. Anybody here been hindered getting closer to God? Me included, as well as you. Amen? And so it has to be one of these things to where you recognize that. And, you know, I think the most important thing is that once we recognize something, what happens? There's one of two things. We either react to it and do something to change it, or we just go along the merry path of like, oh, well, I guess that's the way it's always going to be. We choose the trajectory of where we're going with God and where we're going to land in His kingdom. He has made a way for all of us. So it's urgently important to press in. It's the act of steady pushing or thrusting a force exerted in contact. We have got to get through anything and everything. Now, the thing is, we get into that, we've got to be cautious because the enemy would like for Tim to think like, well, you're going to have to battle me, Tim, on your grounds. And that's where sometimes we fail because we, in our own macho man or woman, we think, I will battle him. You know, the enemy, Satan. But the Lord tells us early on, the battle is His. So what God wants us to do with Him and for Him and through Him, He has made the way. We've got to recognize that and surrender it to Him, but we still have to press in, amen? You got to press in. And sometimes it is by exertion. Sometimes it's by force. And we're going to find out a lot of that is taken by that of the warring and spiritual warfare of prayer. It's going to take a lot of prayer in our lives to get through the battles that we're going through. And it's the battle is God's, but it's a spiritual battle that our fleshly understanding and the way we want to battle with our muscles is not going to help. It's going to hinder us because we will wear ourselves down and we will think that we are of nothing of God because we're not winning. We are not winning. If you are not winning your battle today, it's because you're in your flesh. And you're not allowing the Spirit to move mightily in that battle. And that Spirit comes alive and powerful by prayer. We get into a battle of prayer. We got some people in our church, and I know a few ladies especially, they go warring into battle of the things in the heavenlies for themselves, for their families, for the church families, for this nation, for many things. And it's not always easy. And I believe even as we get into that spiritual battle, we find that if we are pressing in the right way, that we will not be weary. For the Lord is my strength, and we will continue on. I think when we begin to really feel weary and whacked out as far as, oh, I can't take it anymore, it's because we've been doing it in our own abilities, our own strength, our own thoughts, our own mind, and what we think needs to be done. When if we would just turn it over to God, by pressing into Him and holding on to Him, allow Him to work through these things. Now, we're going to start, and I don't know where we're going to go. I got a lot of little post-it notes here in my Bible. I'm sure I will get totally confused once I get going. But we got them dog-eared in here, so we'll just see what happens. In Luke 16:16, I started in Acts, and it talked about tribulations and things, and then it had a a direction in a footnote of or in just a connection with scriptures, and it took me to that in Luke. And when I got to Luke, I kind of hung out there. I've said this before, it's kind of interesting. When I begin one area of the Bible, it's amazing how you begin to read something, and I think there's some here, maybe many of you, when you've done that, it comes across an interesting scripture or two, and you look at some corresponding other areas of the Bible that pertain to that, and you go, oh, wonder what it says over there. So I flip my Bible back, and it's like, oh, when I hit that, it's like, wow. And it's been there. We've read it. We know it. You know, nothing new that we're going to share. But in Luke 16:16, it says this, the law and the prophets were until John. So prior to John, how was the message and how were things being accomplished? Through that of the prophets and by the law. Now, it says here, since that time, since when? Since John came and began to preach, repent, for what is at hand? The kingdom is at hand, repent. Since that time, the kingdom of God has been preached, and everyone is doing what? Pressing into it. That is the most exciting thing, I think, for anybody in ministry and teaching and pastoring and sharing God's word, is if ourselves, for sure, but if we can look at the congregation, the body of Christ, where God has put us, and we begin to see people on their own, isn't it amazing if people on their own can get the unction and the gunction to go pressing into God on their own, it makes the church a what? A much stronger church. When we come together as a corporate body, there's power and strength in us. Sometimes we come into our churches for a corporate service and people are dragging in. It's the wounded. It's the ones that have been beat up throughout the week, and they're coming down the ramp, and they're coming around the corner, and they can just barely get in their seat. If you are pressing into God Monday through Friday through Saturday to whenever, you should just be on your game every day with God. Amen. Be on your game with God. What does that mean when we think of the natural? Be on your game. It's usually used in sports. It means that they're hitting the ball. They're making the basket. They're getting the touchdown. They're on their game. They're performing at their peak. They're performing at what they have practiced, exercise toward, whatever it is. Throughout the times before the big game, they're always practicing. Have you ever thought of people in these major leagues, whatever sport it is? Do you think they just come together on Saturday or Sunday to play the game and the rest of the week they take the whole week off? Or do you think they go back right away the next day and they're practicing, looking at the game films, looking at what needs to be accomplished, where the problems were at, and rework it and refix it? They are constantly practicing and getting ready for what? The next week. The next game. We as Christians have to be ready for the next thing that the enemy wants to throw at us. Anybody here had some fiery darts thrown at you the last week or two? Anything come across your path that's hindered you? Anything that when you're saying, hey, this is a great day, and about 20 minutes later, everything falls apart? Like, what happened here? Well, it's life, and things come across our path. But if we are prepared, if we are on our A game with God, it should not surprise us, for we've practiced, and we've been building up our spiritual muscles. What is our spiritual muscle? Our faith muscle. We, by faith, please God. Without faith, it is what? Impossible to please God. God wants to see our faith. The only time you're going to see your faith is when you're going through something, right? Amen? The only time you're going to have a testimony is you're going to have a test. And many of us go, I want to have a testimony for the Lord. Well, you will. Just hang on, brother or sister. If you can hold on long enough and realize and recognize that this is what is coming your way, but with God on your side, pressing into God, taking it by exertion and being with Him, that no matter what my problem is, it's not going to take me away from my God. It's going to push me to my God. Amen? See, and that's what happens when we look at a church. We can look at people, and we are looking across the board, and all of a sudden situations come up in a life or a situation, whatever it is. And I've always said this, a problem or a battle in your life, whatever it is, financial, relationships, health, whatever, it'll be one of two things. It'll either draw you closer to God, or you will run from God because you think he's mad at you or God doesn't work. God does work. Sometimes the only way God can get him or get you to draw close to him is when you go through a problem. Now that's a shame, isn't it, to think that? But God will say, okay, if this is what's going to get you close to me, we're going to see what happens. The testing of your faith. And as we go through these times and we battle through it because we go to God, then we're going to hold on to him. I'm going to press in. I'm going to have steady thrusting force. I'm going to exert whatever I need to in my spiritual muscles by prayer or whatever to stay with that of God. I'm going to find where, since the time that the kingdom of God has been preached and everyone is pressing into it, everyone needs to be pressing into it. Is God's word for a few? It's for everyone. When we press into God, is it just for a few key people to press into God? It's for everyone. How many here is an everyone? I am that I am. No, not that I'm God. God says I am that I am. But I am pressing into him throughout the times. And the times that we think that we don't need to is when we feel like all of a sudden we get just our clock cleaned. The New Living says this, but now the good news of the kingdom of God is preached. After that of John has come. Now the good news. We do have good news. Amen. And we find that God tells us, go out and share the good news, the gospel. And everyone is eager to get in. Or everyone is urged to enter in. It shouldn't be hard for us to encourage people to get in with God. But it seems to be a challenge sometimes. And I think a lot of times people really want to get there with God, but there's a lot of things in our lives, my life included, that had a good way of holding me back, creating distortion or creating something that caused me to lose my focus on that of God, and we get off on this whatever it is in the world of trying to do things. Speaking of the Pharisees and the prophets and the kingdom, it speaks of this. The Pharisees supposed that a rigid observance of the law was the way of righteousness. They failed to realize that the law and the prophets pointed to the Messiah. Their way of justification was no longer valid from the time of John the Baptist. So at one time it was valid, okay? What they were doing was valid, and that's the way it was being accomplished. But things changed when Jesus comes on the scene. And when Jesus came on the scene, that didn't really go over too well with the Pharisees and the Sadducees and all that, because it took what they were able to tell the people to do and what they needed to do, it took them out of the equation. Now, how many here know, like, when some people are removed out of the equation of doing great things or trying to bring that of God to people, they get a little upset? Because it's like, it's through me. I got to go out and share this message. No, Jesus has come and shared the message. We have it in Scripture in the New Testament. Now, he has given that message for us to go out and to make disciples, to go out and preach, to go out and share the good news. Remember, it's by that of preaching and pressing in. Those are the areas that's going to further the gospel message. Is we got to preach it. We got to share it. We got to talk about it. Whatever you want to call it. We got to talk about this good news. We got to talk about what Jesus accomplished. We got to talk about what Jesus has accomplished in my life. Because what I have experienced, I know you can experience something similar in your life. It may not be exactly what I've experienced, but I know that my God is no respecter of persons and that he will do things wonderfully in your life. They failed to realize that the law and the prophets pointed to the Messiah. Their way of justification was no longer valid from the time John the Baptist announced that repentance and belief were the way of gaining entrance into the kingdom. This made it possible for anyone who desired the kingdom could press into it. We didn't have to go through a third person, a third party. We didn't have to go through key people to get where? Into the kingdom of God. Now, even today, there are some organizations out there that they really think that you need to go to them first and let them decide how and where and what you need to do in your life to find a way into the kingdom. And if you go to them and say, all I need to do is receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior and ask him to forgive my sins, I'm there. And that kind of gets them upset. Because it kind of gets them out of a job. I would love. Amen. You know, in the world, and you're working in a business, and really a lot of people hold on to their positions and their oversight because they don't want people to get more knowledge of what they know because they could lose their job and it goes to somebody else. I was always, as I went through what I worked with Walmart, I always desired to have those people that worked with me or under me or as I managed them, I wanted them to know what I knew or even more than what I knew so that it would make my job easier. I wasn't worried about losing my job because I figured something else would happen, something else will come up. Well, we find that same thing in churches. We have people that are leaderships in our churches like, well, I don't want you to learn everything in this Bible about what you can handle. I want you to be dependent upon me, to come to me so that I could tell you what you could actually find out yourself. But I want to have a part to play in that. I would love as a pastor that I could work myself out of whatever we call this, a ministry, a job, to where you people are just fired up for God and you are just on your game with him on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday, no matter what comes your way, that you can handle it, not you on your own, but you and the Holy Spirit, you and God, because you're pressing into him on a daily basis, and that those times that you had to exert a force, you're willing to exert whatever it is to stay in with that of God. Then the enemy's not going to keep me out. How about you? The enemy's going to try to keep me out of the graces of God. The enemy's going to try to get me sidetracked. The enemy's going to try to get me discouraged. He's going to do. Anybody here been discouraged? Anybody been distracted? Anybody ever thought like, what's the use? Seems like I take one step forward and three back when I try to get a hold of God. When you are getting closer to God, you know you're getting closer to God, and God is in love with what you're doing, and you're pressing into him, and you gauge it by how the enemy wants to attack you and try to get you out of that so that you're always thinking about your problems again. And the enemy knows if I can get you thinking about your problems again, you're not going to be pressing in. If I can get you as the enemy to start thinking about your headaches and your issues and all of these things that goes back, like last week, the message was great. You know, those things that were hindering us from 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years ago. It still has a way of holding us and taking us back to that spot. That's what the enemy exactly wants to do in your life today. But God is here to say, that is in the past, let it go. Press into me today. I am going to draw you closer to me. But he will only draw those that are willing to be drawn close to him. Don't you believe that? So what we find, that as John the Baptist announced these things with repent and to believe, it was made as far as a possibility of how we could all press in and get into that of the kingdom of God. We also need to realize to enter the kingdom of God will take strong determination. You know, sometimes to come to a Sunday morning service, you got to be determined. Anybody here have to deal with that at times? I had to. There's a lot of things that I would love to just stay at home. There's a lot of reasons why I can find that I could stay home and I can still pray and be with God. True. I can still read my Bible at home and still have time with the Holy Spirit at home. True. So there's nothing wrong with that. But there's also something on the other side of that that says that do not forsake yourself assembling together with like faith or like people so that we can encourage and build and pray and laugh and cry with one another. So we can see people that come in off the road. Hey, it's good to see you. Glad you're back. It's good to see those that have come through this week. It's good to see you. It's good to see you. You know, we've gone through situations this week, you know, but you're here today. You're part of the body of Christ. This is part of that pressing in. Coming to a Sunday morning service, that's pressing in to the things of God. Don't you believe it? It takes a lot. I mean, when we were closed down for COVID, I loved just putting messages online and not coming here, and I could just stay at home on Sundays in my little, you know, relaxed clothing and sit in my easy chair and have my bowl of oatmeal. It got pretty easy. Then when it came up and I said, oh, we're going to have service, I go, oh, man, we got to start church back up again? No. It's like, all right, here we go. So it's easy to get really relaxed and laxed in your service to God. But it takes the fortitude, it takes desire, it takes the willingness of your part to keep pressing in. I've shared this many times that as I was serving and working in my secular job and doing the traveling and traveling from here to Door County to Green Bay to Merrill to wherever, down to Peru, Illinois, and all these places, and down into Chicago market, I'd get home or come back on a Wednesday, and I think like, oh, Wednesday Bible study, oh, gosh, you know, I'm so tired. I just got back, and service is at 7 or whatever time it was, 6, I don't know. I think I'll just stay home. I am so thankful that the Spirit of God was in me enough to say, don't allow the enemy to feed you that line of bull. Some people allow the enemy to feed you a line of bull. That's what it is, a line of bull to make you feel like I can just stay home where I'm at because I've had such a hard day. I've had such a long week. Where else do you recharge your batteries but in the presence of who? God. I can get in the presence of God in my living room. Praise God you can. But there's something about a corporate pressing in. Something about a corporate coming together. That's where the enemy does not want us. And when I would begin to feel that on a Wednesday, the Spirit of God would rise up into me. And that's when I said, I need to go. I've got to go. Because I do not know what the pastor was going to share on that Wednesday Bible study that may be the key. Hello. The key to help me get over a hurdle that the devil has in my life, in my situation. The devil does not want you to hear anything of this Word of God. You know why? Because the devil knows this stuff. He knows what's in the Scriptures. Well, I can quote the Scripture. The devil can quote the Scriptures. That doesn't mean anything. It's just he knows what's in here. He knows this is the best stuff for the people that need to hook up to God. And so the devil's going to say, oh, you've had a rough week. Stay home. It's been a long week. You don't go Sunday morning. Oh, you know, you're going to get there and you have to walk through the parking lot. You got to go down that ramp. You know, all these potential excuses. That is when, folks, you need to kick the devil right in the backside and say, I'm going. Get out of the way. What did Jesus tell him? Get thee behind me, Satan. There's many times in your life you'd better be sharing that phrase with the devil because the devil will still come back for a better opportune time, it says. But you better keep that verbiage close at hand when you know it is the devil to sit there and say, get thee behind me because I've got more to do with my God. That's called pressing in, guys. That's called exertion on my part to sit there and say, okay, I'm going to get off the road. I'm going to have a quick bite to eat. Honey, get the kids ready. We're going to go to Wednesday. And the kids had, you know, children's things going on. The adults had their adult things. And we were getting fed the Word of God. We were getting our vitamins. We were getting our minerals. We were getting the manna from heaven. Hello. Hello. Okay. We need to realize to enter the kingdom of God will take a strong determination. We will need to be aggressive in serving Christ. You cannot patty cake with the devil. You can't patty cake with God. You're all in or you're all out. God's word tells us you have one foot in the world, one foot in the kingdom. You're not going to do well. You have got to be fervently on fire for him, or you might as well be cold, because if you're lukewarm, we shared through this last few weeks in our Thursday Bible studies and Revelations, and talking about the lukewarm church, that he will spit you out, he will vomit you out of his mouth because of your lukewarmness. It's a stench, and he doesn't like it. So he's going to regurgitate you. Isn't that great to hear? Wow. Be hot or cold. Don't be in between. We will need to be aggressive in serving Christ. We need to understand that his kingdom is worth more than any other pursuit that we may have in life. It will take a strong commitment. There it is, that commitment on our part to do what God has for us and to receive what God has for us. But it's going to take our part of getting to him, pressing into him, allowing him to draw you close. He loves you. He loves you, guys. He's not waiting to draw you in and just get you close enough and then go, boom, got you now. He, with arms wide open, come to him. He is waiting for you. We sang that song, "Draw Me, Lord." God wants nothing more than to draw His people to Him. You might have to get some things out of your way. As He's drawing you closer, all of a sudden this distraction comes. You've got to go, out of here. Draw me, get out of here. You know, I'm fixating my sight on that of God. So it may take more than any other pursuit in our life, and it does. You will have to have a greater hunger for God and His kingdom than you do for this world, than you do for this life, than you do for anything here. I would even say for your families, for your job, for anything. Now, we keep it in perspective. It's not like you're going to push your family out the way and all this type stuff. But God speaks to some of those things there about your families and how they can be a detractor from what God wants to do for you. We all have to work through those things, and we have to figure out what is important. And it is. Our relationship with Christ is more important than anything on this side of heaven. And that puts everything out there. But God's love for us, we will love our family, and God will work through those things. So it's not like He's saying, kick your family out and don't go to them. No, but you've got to read it and understand what He's trying to say, that we've got to have this hunger for Him above anything and all things that could gain our interest. Remember those times I sit there and say, God in my life is first, my wife, my kids, my grandkids. It's almost a close third there. It could be grandkids, then my kids. But God, my wife, my family, and the church. You guys are not on the high pecking order of my priorities. I want to just let you know that. You're not supposed to be. Church here is not supposed to be the high priority of you. Your relationship with God is the high priority. And then your family. And then areas of ministry and things like that that He puts before you. But we have got to keep that relationship in that line, because once we get that distorted, you will find such a distortion and just such a confusion in your life, because we're not keeping the order that God has for us. And I'm going to tell you, the love that God has for you and the love you have for God, you will have exponentially, or whatever that's called, exponentially, tons of more love for your family than you've ever had before. You hear that? See, on one hand, you're saying, well, Pastor, you said I got to give up my family and all that. Yeah, you got to put God where He's at, but I'm going to tell you, the love that you develop with Him, through Him, that and that and that, you will have that love. I told somebody, I don't know if it was the pastor or somebody, many years back now, when I really got fired up for God, Jesus Christ, and I turned my life, I pressed into Him when I left my career at Walmart. I pressed in and followed after Him. I gave up the worldly things, the worldly pleasures, the things that I thought I wanted to have so that I could have a great life in retirement, and all these things out there that we think we need to have. When I put these things on the altar of God and said, they are nothing compared to You, and I began to serve Him, I'm going to tell you, I didn't understand it, but my love for Him grew at a great level. Nothing's fantastic, but my love for Him grew because I wanted to please Him, I wanted to serve Him, because He's been speaking to me in such a tender way that I knew that He loved me, and that He wasn't going to leave me, and that He was going to take care of me. And if He was going to take care of me, He was going to take care of my family. But then all of a sudden I realized, and it happened, and I didn't realize it until all of a sudden I began to sense some things, but it's like the love that I had developed for my wife even grew, because my love for Christ grew. I didn't understand that until all of a sudden I began to look at, there's something paralleling here. And that's the way God works. As we show our love and service and desire to Him, He fills us with His love and all of that, to where we begin to see things in a wholly different light of our spouses and our families and things like that. It's amazing. You begin to walk out your life with a compassion of like that of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ walked with compassion, forgiveness, love, forgiveness. How many here know when we're married and things of that nature that there's got to be a lot of level of forgiveness? How many here, when you got families and kids and things, you got to have a level of forgiveness that passes all understanding at times? And when you don't have that ability, you've got to ask God to give me that understanding, or give me that compassion, give me that ability to have that love so that we can work this thing out. Many people get upset when they think about, oh, I got to serve God. I got to kick my family off into the side of the street. No. If you do it in the right way, with that of an open heart, and you're pressing into God, all of these other things will be taken care of. It's hard to explain, but I know it happens. The enemy will tell you a lot of times, well, you can't do that. You got to keep your love for your wife first. You got to keep your love for your family first, your job, and then all these. Oh, then after all that, then you can have love for God. It's a lie from the enemy. It will require us to lay aside any personal goals that may hinder our entrance into his kingdom. It talks about here that Jesus declares the advance of the kingdom of God is the result of two things. Number one, preaching. We gotta spread his message. We gotta spread what the scriptures say. We gotta spread what he is in our life. You are, believe it or not that the Bible is having any more books written anymore, because it's done, but I always look at each one of my life, your life, whatever, as we serve God, we are a book of not the current Bible or the Bible, but we are a book of God in what God has done in our life. See, God is writing a book. You are a book. Our legacy, the things that we are about, we are a book that is being written. And we all have a chapter in there somewhere. And I think with that of God in our lives, we have a chapter that is being continued written until, guess what? He calls you home. But that's what you leave. It's as you serve God, walk out your time with him, pressing into more of what he has and the kingdom that he has for us. We're going to be leaving these things behind. Preaching and pressing in. He shows the gospel of the kingdom must be proclaimed with a spiritual passion. A spiritual passion is this. It's not done by your own strength. It's not done really by your own per se knowledge. It's done with a spiritual passion of that of being Holy Spirit filled, and the Spirit of God is working in you as you share the message to these people around you that is like that of God sharing it, but he's using you as the vessel. Woo! We're the vessel of God. Amen. He's working through us. In every generation, believers have to determine whether they will respond to this truth with a sensible mind and sensitive hearts. And that's their choice, right? We give people choices. God has given everybody a choice. Choose this day who you will serve. And so as we share the gospel, it's not for us to beat them over the head and drag them up to the altar and make sure they say this prayer before we leave their house or leave them out of the church. It's for everyone to think about, to believe, and to have that sensible mind and that sensitive heart. That's why when we begin to talk to people, we want to say, Lord God, oh Father, I pray right now, prepare the heart of the person to receive your word. As we receive, or as we share the word, we're planting that seed. The heart is that of the soil we could get into. We want the heart to be pliable. We want the heart to be ready to receive what we share. And let it be planted there, and let it take root, and however long it may be. They may say the prayer that instant. They may take that person 6 months or a year to say that prayer. But the seed is there, and they begin to let it grow. But we pray for a sensitive heart. So we need to educate, we need to teach, we need to engage in the kindness of things of that of God. But however, apart from an impassionate pursuit of prayer, a confrontation with the demonic, expectations of a miraculous, and a burning heart for evangelism, the kingdom of God makes little penetration into this world. To get this thing really into the world, it's going to take what? A passionate pursuit of prayer. Remember we talked about, being preached, and everyone is pressing into it, but it's going to take an impassionate pursuit of prayer. We got to keep it in prayer. There is a time of confrontation with that of the devil. The devil does not want the message to go forth. He doesn't want the people to hear the good news. He wants to keep them bogged down and tied down, bondage, shackled to their problems, to their past, to their hurts, to whatever it is. And let them say, the devil is so happy when he sees that you can go through a life of 80 years of heartache and pain and suffering, and then you die. He loves that. Ooh. The devil goes, yeah, I had them right where I wanted them. They were miserable for their entire life. They didn't realize that God had the answer, that God had forgiveness, that God has the love, that God has the compassion. Hello. To get all that cleaned out of you so that you can have maybe 40 years of good life, 50 years of good life, whatever the case is. But have a good life Once before it was this, but now with Christ in my life, it has turned out to be this. Hallelujah. I enjoy waking up in the morning. I enjoy getting up. I enjoy going. I enjoy life. The devil says, you do what? You enjoy. You need to be miserable, guy. You need to be doom and gloom, lady. How can you enjoy this life? Look at all around you and the things that the world is doing and the things in your government and the economy. I don't care what the things are going on in the natural. I am hooked up into the spiritual, amen? I'm seeing the mighty grace and the awesomeness of God's kingdom. And I'm a part of that, and I'm playing a part in that. It's because I'm pressing in. I'm taking exertion. I'm going to keep going. I'm going to keep battling, not me, but Him for me. And I see the benefits of God's kingdom. I want joy in my life. We talked last week, joy. A merry heart does good like medicine. Why do you think the devil likes you to be in doom and gloom? It keeps you sick. Why do you think the devil wants you to keep in your past? Because all those things keeps illnesses coming upon your body, like Don shared and Linda last week. We don't realize that. The devil is pretty tricky. But God will open your heart and open your mind to those things by the Spirit, and then you will be able to counteract that by pressing in, draw me close, Lord, pressing into Him, and then all of a sudden your days turn into joy. Your feet begin to dance. Hallelujah. You begin to shout and praise the Lord, but all hell's falling apart around you. That's the natural. That's going to happen no matter what. But I'm looking at a much glorious thing. You're out of your mind. You might be right. I'm out of body. I'm seeing God. You ought to be where I'm at. I'm happy. I'm happy. But it takes a lot of prayer. It takes some times of battling, pursuit, you know, these things, confrontation with the demonic. You know, I'm not saying we're going to go out and look for the devil and have a battle. I will never go looking for the devil. But if he comes across my path, he better get out of my way. Because I'm not going to blow him apart. My God is going to take care of him. Because I'm going to say, Lord, let your angels take charge over that and go. And in the name of Jesus, I bind you. In the name of Jesus, I'm healed. In the name of Jesus, I'm conquering what you have taken from me. I'm getting back what the enemy has stolen. We got to get vitally, you know, compassionate with that of the devil to the point of you got to, he's cleaned your clock many years. You need to clean his clock. You need to get to the point where you kick him in the backside and send him on his way rather than you walking down the path of life. Life is terrible. No, life is terrible because you allowed the enemy to get into your life, get into your thoughts, get into whatever you're doing, and the enemy is controlling you. You just don't know it. You think it's the government. You think it's your job. You think it's this. You think it's... No, it's the enemy controlling you and getting your thoughts off of the things of the kingdom of God. You got to see the greater picture. So there is a fight, but I don't go looking for the devil. I had somebody a long time back, a young girl, she was asking, and she goes, well, what are some scriptures that I can use to battle the devil and all of these things? And I go, that's a good question. So I was just like, God, what should we use? Oh, simple. Get thee behind me, Satan. And then go on. Don't spend time fighting the enemy. Tell him to get loose or just get behind you. And then focus on God. Take your time. Take more time praising God than battling the devil. Even the devil would like for you to battle him because, you know, he'll just take you around and around and around and around. Pretty soon, spiritually, we're getting beat down, wore out. But if you can tell him to get thee behind me, you can tell him I'm a child of God. You can tell him my sins have been forgiven. You can tell him the things that happened to me in the past are no longer because God has taken it from me. Oh, I might can think of that, but I've forgiven, I've loosed, whatever the case is, and those things are not going to continually keep me in bondage and keep me tied down to what the devil wants me to do for the rest of my life. Do you realize the rest of your life is a long time to be miserable? And some people love to live in misery. You know why? Because they've spent, myself, any of us, we've spent more time, amen, I'm thinking now, I'm probably getting to that other side of the fulcrum there, that I've spent more time with that of God and all in my life than I did prior to that. So I'm starting to gain ground. Hello? But for many of us, if we come into that of Christ later on in our life, we've had 30, 35, 40, 45 years, 50 years of the world and the destruction of the world in our life and seeing the enemy just beat us up. And then all of a sudden we've had more of the life experiences than we've had the kingdom experiences. But when we receive Jesus Christ at 52 years of age or whatever age, all of a sudden I'm a new creation. It says old things have passed away. All things become new. My life has now just been born again. Hallelujah. But you got to know that and you got to believe that and you got to tell that stupid enemy of yours, I'm born again, I've been forgiven, just find somebody else to bother and leave me alone. And if you come and bother me, I'm just going to praise my God even louder and even stronger. And you will find eventually the devil will leave you alone. Because the devil will know he has no place in you. Because your place is with who? God. Who takes priority and precedence in my life? God. When I'm going through a problem, who am I going to talk to? God. Who am I going to ask for help? God. Who am I going to praise? God. Who am I going to worship? God. And I truly believe that once the enemy sees enough of that in a person, of a follower of Christ's life, he will continue to come back, but he will not stay long because he's not going to spend his energies on somebody that he can't distort the truth, that he can't get them to go back in the past, because you're going to say, I'm on a new plateau, I'm on a new path, I'm on a different walk right now, and if you want to stay back there and take your time, devil, feel free to stay in my past. It's not going to do any good for me. And then you'll find the devil's pretty smart because he'll say, well, if that's the case, I'll go find somebody else to do what I wanted to do to you. You can't even give him even an acknowledgement. I love that. I'm sure the devil loves to hear when people say, oh, he's just really hindering me. He's really just destroying me. He's really just having a day with me. Well, let's just give him accolades. Great going, devil. He's a powerful devil. He's so powerful. He's destroying my life. It's so, Oh, yeah, Tim, you don't have problems. I've got problems, but it's like, Lord, I'm a child of yours, and I ask you to go before me. I ask you, sometimes you know what? You got to ask God to give you the wisdom on how to handle these things. Now, God will fight your battles for you, but he will also tell you how to deal with it. He may tell you, well, don't do this like this, Tim. Change it and do this. Oh, okay. See, we've got to be a willing player in this whole thing. We just don't go on autopilot and sit down and go, okay, my life is going to be a piece of cake from now on, and God's going to take care of all my battles. Hallelujah. And then we didn't get there yet. Maybe next week. But what about trials and tribulations? All those things that still come our way. But God will give you the resources to go through them, the scriptures to keep you strong, the scriptures to proclaim. Hello, how many here realize you've got to proclaim God's word because it will not return void to him? You're not reminding God what he said. You're just telling God, God, I remember what I read. God, do the battles for you. Woo. Hallelujah. Now, we got to be careful as I wrap this part of it up. We can have an overstatement of this area of pressing. Pressing, you know, we could get really radical in that. It's likely to produce a rabid fanatic who justifies any behavior in Jesus' name as applying the boldness spoken of here. Such travesties in church history as the Crusades and various efforts at politicalizing in a quest to produce righteousness in a society through earth-level rule are extremes that we must learn to reject. Pressing in is accomplished first in prayer warfare, but it's also coupled with a will to surrender one life and self-interest in order to gain God's kingdom's goals. We pray warfare, but also we've got to be willing, and God's going to say, are you willing to surrender? All he wants you to know is just surrender it to me, Tim. Why do you keep battling it? Why do you keep going through it? Why do you not get tired of it? And I would say, I do get tired of it, God. But God would say, there's no buts, Tim. You're either going to what? Lay down your self-interest and you're going to come onto my side 100%? Because I want to tell you, you cannot serve God at 80% and have a victorious life. You might have some victories, but they're going to be short-lived. And the enemy will destroy you and take you down that path of other situations. And pretty soon you're at 80%, maybe you have a battle and you don't realize what's going on, and all of a sudden you go down to half, 50%, 40%. And now all of a sudden you see people that have where? They've left the church, they left God. I've had so many problems, I don't understand what's going on. This is not working. The reason it's not working is because you're not working the message of God in your life. You're not working His principles in your life. It's not that He's not working. It's not you are not working what He has asked us to do. And He has asked us to surrender ourselves, to lay our interests down. He's asked us to bear the cross. We didn't get there, but one of the things here, oh my goodness here, where it says, "And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of life." You know, we are going to get into that a little bit. And what is that cross? We all have a cross to take. We all have that. But remember that song we sing, "The cross before me, the world behind me." All of these things. But we have got to begin to start the very first process of this is I've got to lay my life down. I've got to surrender my passions and my desires and what I want. And I've got to go to Him and say, "But Lord, what do you want from me?" You lay your life down. He asks each one of us to do different things. Prayer, do this, oversee this, take this up, go do this, whatever the case is. And we've got to be willing to say, "Okay, here we go." And we've got to be enough of understanding that God will not let you fail. Amen? Jeremiah 29, 11, 12, 13, 14. Just go Jeremiah 29, 11, 12, 13. Just go back in that area. He has the plans He has for you to fail, to succeed and not fail. Pray to Him and He will hear you and He will answer you if you listen and pray to Him and listen with all your thoughts and ears and all this stuff. So that's what we've got to do, ladies and gentlemen. We need to have a steady pushing or thrusting into more of God. More of God. We cannot ever get enough of God. You will be, if you live till 100 years old, you will never have received enough of God in your life. We got to keep pressing in, keep going forward, keep asking more God, more of you. And He will continue to pour, guess what? More of Himself in you. And until you take your last breath. And it could be your last breath is coming and you're doing a wonder. You're giving somebody that's caring for you a testimony because you're on your deathbed possibly and you're going praising Jesus. Hallelujah! Glory to God! And then a story comes out of that. Some worker that's helping you going, "Wow, this person was on their deathbed and all they could do is just praise Jesus. I wish I had a relationship like that." Because where I'm at right now, it seems like when I take my last breath, it's over. This person is like glory. They are like going to someplace even better now. And they are. They're going to eternity with that of Christ. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah. So, if you're a doom and gloom Christian, you're not going to get too many people into the kingdom with you because they're not going to want to follow you. It's like, if I'm going to be doom and gloom, I can just stay in the world and have enjoyment there, but I'm not joyable, but, you know, I'm enjoying it, but I'm not. I'm mixed up. But I want to see somebody with the evidence of just the love of Christ and the worshiping of that of Christ. And your life will speak more volumes than anything that you read in Scripture. And that's how we go, is say, "Lord, use me. Lord, fill me. Lord, be with me. Lord, guide me. Lord, help me be all that I can be to honor and glorify you." That's what it turns out to be. How can I glorify you, God? I don't want the attention on me. I want it on you, Father God. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, as we thank you for this beautiful day, I thank you, Lord, that we have a message of today of pressing in. Pressing in even more, Lord, than what we've done in the past. But Lord, as we continue to live out this life, you're going to like to have more of us. You want all of us, Lord. Everything that we have, Lord, you're wanting us to just give it to you. I lay down my life. And I can do that because Jesus Christ laid down his life. And so, Lord, I pray right now that you will touch each one's hearts and their thoughts today. And I pray, Lord, that something that was shared, something that even that of the Holy Spirit maybe brought to remembrance into people's thoughts right now will be a reoccurring thought, and it'll begin to stir something even deeper and mightier in their spirit, Lord God. And that, Father, they will continue to see the glory in you. And that, Father, they will see the necessity of the need of pressing in to exert some force at times to continue going where you're at, Father God. And that you are there to help them. You are there to get us through. You're there to prepare the way. Hallelujah. But Lord, we do lay down our life, lay down our passions, all of our desires, and say, Lord, it's all about you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.